The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. As you know, we're looking through some of the sections of this book, One True Light, and on the Sundays that occur, these three Sundays, we're looking at the particular text that's for that day, for that reading. This is a daily reading through to the 24th of December, this book, One True Light. So that's what we're looking at this morning. And this morning we're looking kind of in that whole section from 9 through to 13, but particularly focusing on 11 and 12, which is the reading there is for this morning. First of all, we see revealing the light, or the light revealed. I remember quite a long time ago now staying in some relatives, my uncle and auntie, who live in Ashburnham in Suffolk. And I think I went there with Carolyn, but I can't remember whether she was with me or not. It's obviously a very notable event. But I remember staying there, and we went there, we had a meal and stuff, and I can't remember what time of year it was even. But the phenomenon I remember was we all went to bed and the lights went out, and it was like proper dark. Not just like average dark, not just like, you know, there's no moon and stars dark. It was like proper, you could not see anything dark. Not sure whether that's the case now, 20 or 30 years later, but it certainly was then out in kind of remote Suffolk. There was no light at all. You could not see it. And actually, it was kind of pretty scary. You kind of felt really weird. It sort of almost engulfed you, almost sort of overcame you as sort of something that you were breathing in. John has an awful lot to say about darkness and light in his book, in his gospel, and he starts to introduce it even in this first section. Of course, at the beginning of creation, that's what there was. Darkness. Complete, utter darkness. Darkness over the face of the water, it's described as. Everything static, lifeless, dead, material, but with no form to it. Complete and utter darkness. And you remember at the beginning, we read about it in Genesis chapter 1. What happens in the beginning? There is a formless universe and God speaks. And the first act of God speaking is to say, let there be light, let there be illumination, let there be the possibility for life. And it's in the light of the light that the world is formed. And we could pretty much say, whenever and wherever God speaks, he brings light. And as we thought about last week, what John is signaling as he begins his gospel is that here comes a new creation. Here comes another creating work. Here comes a work of renewal. Restoring creation, but more than restoring creation, rejuvenating creation. Here it comes. The light is coming because God is speaking in the Word. The Word that actually was there at creation, at the Father's side. Here was Jesus, the craftsman at the side of the Father, making the world through the Word. He was the instrument that God the Father uses to make the world. And now he's the instrument through which God will reveal more light and bring new life. Jesus is the Word of God, as we thought about last week. He's the perfect, complete expression of God, of the mind of God. He's the breathed out intention of God. And so the Word brings light. More than that, the Word is light. You see that beginning part of verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. What was in him, the life that was in him, was the illumination, the light of all mankind. Or beginning of verse 5, the light shines in the darkness. That's him shining. And then verse 7, he came, John the Baptist, as witness to testify concerning that light, meaning Jesus, the light. What does light do? It brings clarity. It brings, as it illuminates, an understanding of what is there. Really, what is there all the time. And what does Jesus do? He brings clarity. He shows us what has been there all the time, in a sense, in terms of the plan of God and all about ourselves. But he brings that to light. I remember in 1997, I think, so 20 years ago. Is that 20 years ago? Yeah. And various people will tell you I'm really rubbish at maths. But 1997, I had a friend who I was working with called Munir, and we were in an engineering company in working in London, putting systems that control buildings. And Munir came to me and said, the next big thing is going to be the internet. And I was like, what's the internet? I don't understand it. I understand computers. I just about understood networks then and how you could get computers to talk to each other, because I worked for a company that put networked systems into buildings. But the internet was like, it just completely blew my mind. The kind of idea of a random set of computers communicating with a random other set of computers anywhere in the world. It was an amazing phenomenon. I remember Munir explaining it to him. I remember where I was exactly in a conference room in an office we had. And he kind of drew some diagrams and he had to sort of go over it and over it again and draw telephone lines and stuff. And I said, but how does this one talk to this one? And eventually I got it. He brought light. He was a light bringer. He illuminated my understanding of the internet. And he was right, wasn't he? It was kind of important. It was kind of a next big thing that was going to happen. We tried to profit from it and made a bit of a mess. We made this amazing product, but it was about 10 years ahead of its time, so it didn't work. But he brought light, and in a much bigger way, in terms of the next big thing. Jesus comes, and he brings light. He brings illumination. He makes things clear. He reveals what is already there. He explains the perhaps quite difficult and obscure, but he makes it clear. He makes it plain. He makes it so we can see a way ahead. It's interesting to look just over a few pages, John chapter 12. Jesus is again speaking about light, as he does in a lot of places in the Gospel of John. So John chapter 12 from verse 35, for example. The people are confused when he starts to describe about what's coming and the cross. And he says, verse 35, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the light does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so you may become children of light. Jesus is saying, I am the light. You need to walk by my light. You need to listen to me. But more than that, you need to believe in the light. In other words, you need to recognize, yes, Jesus is the light. Jesus is the revelation of God. Jesus is illuminating the purposes of God. Otherwise, you don't know where to go. And millions of people in our country don't know where to go. They are like people stumbling around in deepest dark Suffolk without any lights. That's how we are. That's how we naturally are. People seem kind of organized and with it, but basically they're stumbling around in the dark unless they see and believe in the light. So when the light comes, it shows the way ahead. It shows the way back to God. It shows the way into the future. It comes and breaks the darkness of our ignorance. Because, you know, we can't find God. We can't know about God unless he reveals himself to us. He has to bring the light. We don't have the light. We can't shine a light on God. It's not like we can illuminate God. We can light up God. We can investigate and search and research and eventually we'll find God. No, that's not how it works. God has to reveal himself to us. We need revelation. So we need revelation to bring an end to our ignorance. But there's also the darkness of our sin. Our deeds are evil. They're wrong. We need the light of God's word to show us ourselves, not just to give us some illumination of facts about God's purposes, but to shine a light right into our hearts, to penetrate right inside and to show us who we are. You see, if we don't have the light, then we remain in darkness. And darkness is one of the descriptions of the judgment of God in the future. If we don't accept the light, if we don't believe in the light, then we will face what can be described as outer darkness, alienation, lack of any clarity and understanding, no longer in the felt presence and light of God. That will be us unless we see, unless we receive, unless we believe in the light. There had been some light in the Old Testament. Of course there had. That's why we've got it as part of our Bible. There's been illumination all the way along in the Old Testament. But it's not complete. It's not full until now. And Jesus will bring light by his words and by his deeds. Again, a couple of pages over, chapter 8 and verse 12 says this. Jesus spoke to the people and said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What Jesus says there in that text is that these deeds are revealing the light of God. And you're only going to have the light for a little while, but he says these works are revealing the light of God. And it's really interesting because it's like this healing of the man born blind is kind of a worked example of salvation, isn't it? So here's someone who's been born blind from birth. They've never seen. And Jesus comes along. Verse 5. Thank you very much. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's what he says. And then after saying that, he performs the healing. So what he's saying is, I'm the light of the world. And then he does this worked example of what it is to bring light. Here's a man born blind. He heals him. He can now see. And what Jesus says is, see through my words and my deeds that I am the light of the world. And when you see my deeds, that will help you believe. But also when you see my deeds, they're nearly always an illustration of salvation, going from blindness to light. And that's what it's like when you became a Christian. You were like this man who was born blind. And Jesus, the light of the world, comes along and you're in darkness, and you come along to church, and you're still in darkness, and you come along to some courses, and you're still in darkness, and you talk to your friends, and you read the Bible, and you're still in darkness, and there's a moment when it's like the light shines in, and suddenly you understand. Just like me understanding the internet, it's, I see at last. And that's what Jesus does for us. That's what Jesus can do for you. And Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, so come on, believe in me. See that I'm the light and believe in me. Believe in all that I'm doing and all that I will do. Do you want to know the truth? Do you want to know the truth about God? Do you want to know the truth about yourself? Do you want to know about the future? Do you want to know who you are? Do you want to know where you're going? Do you want to know how to live? Do you want to know how to be truly happy? Do you want to know how to relate to the God of the universe? Do you want to know all those things? Do you want to know what God thinks of you? Do you want to know how to act in life? Do you want to know how to work? Do you want to know how to be a husband or a wife or a child or a parent? Do you want to know? Jesus is the answer to all of those things. Do you want to know how to deal with your stricken conscience that just doesn't feel right with yourself and doesn't feel right with God? Do you want to know how to be forgiven? Do you want to know what God thinks of you as you are born blind? But do you want to know what God can do for you because of his love? Do you want to know those things? Jesus is the light who brings light on all those topics. Lifelong darkness can be ended. I was pondering this week what it was like to be Donald Trump's official spokesman. I thought that would kind of be a fun job because you'd never know as you woke up every morning what was going to happen, was it? It's not like, you know, you probably do have all these plans, statements you're going to make, you know, today we're going to announce blah, 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 and then Donald Trump, 3 o'clock in the morning, tweets something about somewhere. You know, he's going to bomb the UK or something like that, and just because he sort of has this random thought comes in his head, and you wake up in the morning and you've got to bring some word from Donald Trump as his official spokesman, and you've got to try and spin it as best you can. Jesus is not that kind of a spokesman. Jesus is the authoritative spokesman for God. He's not the one who's just catching up with God's plans that are changing all the time. He's not even one that's been properly delegated in that sense. He is the light. He doesn't just bring some light. That's Jesus, the light revealed. Secondly, rejecting the light. That's verses 10 and 11. As I mentioned last time, actually, I was preaching, we went to this conference back in November, the FIEC conference, which was down in Paignton, or Torquay, in Devon. And what happens at those kind of conferences, you probably had a similar experience at things you might have gone to. So there's about 800 people there, and Mark and I, at least, have been going for quite a few years, maybe 6 or 7 years that we've been going to these conferences. And there are people that you meet there that you never meet anywhere else. And you maybe only meet them, you know, once every few years. So there are people that you sit on a table with them, and for that moment, they're like your best friend. You know, you chat with them, you hear about where they come from, what church they come from, and, you know, what their name is, because you can look at their name badge and it's all fine. And so, you know, you end that conversation and you feel like you're fairly familiar with them. And then, like 5 years later, they walk up to you and they put their hand out, shaking. They say, "Hi, Graham." And you say, "Hi, Peter? Is that Peter? No, that's my surname." And that's how it's like. You just don't recognize. You have that experience ever? You just can't work out, who is this person who's talking to me? Is he my friend? Did I promise to go and speak at their church weekend away? I don't remember. Sometimes you can remember loads of things, but you can't remember their name. That's even worse in a way. You know everything about them, but their name. That's bad too. But not recognizing people is weird, isn't it? People out of context, sometimes you don't recognize them. You see them sort of wearing something different. They're not in whatever uniform you normally see them in. Like people who work at the station and you see them in the town, high street, and you think, oh, who are they? I think I know them. The shocking thing that John talks about in John 1 is that people who should have known better don't recognize Jesus, the light of the world. It's clear he is the light of the world, but it certainly isn't clear to them. And that's what John talks about in these verses, that people prefer darkness. The light has been rejected. The light, the word, the life comes, but he's not recognized, he's not received, he's not believed. Verse 10, we see that the creatures, those who are made by God, see that verse 10? He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Here was Jesus, the craftsman at the Father's side, making the whole world and the universe. He made everything that we see and feel and touch and handle. He created it. And here he arrives at his creation, in his creation. He becomes, in that wonderful way we're celebrating this time of year, part of the creation. And he's walking around, and he's seeing in the sky, birds that he created. And he's seeing all around material that he created and all the animals. And he's breathing the air that he created. And he's speaking to human beings that he made in the image of God. He comes to the world and the world does not recognize him. But there's something even worse than that in verse 11. That he came to his own, to that which was his own, verse 11. But his own did not receive him. What John means by that is that he came to the people of Israel, the people who'd had light and should have been prepared, and they should have welcomed Jesus, but actually they reject him. So the Creator visits his creation and he's not welcome. And the Savior visits his people and he's not recognized. And John will explain in his gospel why that happens. I discovered a new word this week. I'm not sure I'll be using it very much, but the word is this: photophobia. It's pretty obvious what that is, I reckon. What do you think photophobia is? It's an adverse physical reaction to light. That's photophobia. It's not so much a fear, actually. It's more of an actual adverse physical reaction. The one that was even harder to work out is heliophobia. Do you know what that is? It is fear of the sun, but it's not a physical thing. It is more of a psychological thing. It's mostly irrational. Sometimes there is some kind of rationale to it about, you know, getting skin cancer or something, or sunburn or something else, aging your skin. But generally speaking, it's an irrational fear. That's the sort of category. Also, what that word means. And John in his gospel is talking about that. It's kind of psychological, but it's kind of physical. It's a physical recoiling from the light that he's talking about. See, it's not a matter of seeing the light. It's a matter of how you respond to the light, not wanting the light. Just over a couple of chapters, there's a guy who visits Jesus called Nicodemus. He's one of the Jewish rulers. And he comes to Jesus at night in the dark. It's kind of a symbolic moment when he comes in the dark to see Jesus, who's going to be the one who brings light. Excuse me. And then in verse 16 of chapter 3, we've got one of the most famous verses in the Bible. It goes like this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." It's wonderful illumination that Jesus brings. He's saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever believes in me will have eternal life as a free gift." And the source of that gift is the love of God. But then he goes on, just a few moments later, either Jesus speaking or John in his summary speaking, saying this, verse 19, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. For God so loved the world that he sends his one and only Son. But that love is not recognized. That love is often not appreciated. Some will not want it." You see, naturally, whatever our fear of light is, or whatever our fear of the sun is, naturally, we don't want the light of God. Because when Jesus speaks, he speaks right into our hearts. He exposes our sin. The people around him were caught out. Even his disciples, who were kind of getting it to some degree, have moments of saying, like Peter, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. As I'm around you, Jesus, I realize the state of my heart. I can no longer justify myself." And many people around Jesus so hated that exposure that they wanted to get rid of him. And it wasn't just the Jews who want to get rid of him. It's us who want to get rid of him. When we get the revelation of God in the Bible, when we read the actions of God explained by the Word of God, when God talks to us about the fact that he owns us, when we hear about our fall and rebellion, when we realize that God is completely sovereign and no one can stand and say to God, "What are you doing?" When we realize that we are hopeless and helpless unless God steps in mercy and lifts us up, when we realize that, that's hard to take. Because we reckon we can solve our own problems. And it's hard and it feels really uncomfortable. God shines his light into the deep chambers of our hearts. It reveals our thoughts and our deeds. And some of them are okay, but some of them are ugly. It speaks to our conscience, which seeing ourselves in the light of God, it trembles, it recoils, it turns away into the darkness. That's how we naturally are. That's what we naturally want to do. I got chicken in my back garden. I think I've still got them. And at night time, normally at night time, although foxes are pretty brave in the daytime sometimes around here, but at night time it's when the foxes come out and the rats actually come out to get the chicken food. We've got a problem with rats as well. If anyone knows a good way of getting rid of rats, don't say traps, by the way, because that hasn't worked. But, you know, if there's some kind of nuclear blaster you can use for rats that sort of sense them and then just obliterates them, that would be really cool. But what happens is pretty much all the activity happens at night, and it's a particular kind of darkest point of night. You know, you go out and see if you can sort of catch anything going on at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and there's nothing normally happening. And you sort of go to bed and you get up pretty early in the morning, but something seems to have happened in between those times in the darkness. If you put the back light on, sort of shining into the garden, there's nothing to see because they all scram, they all go down their holes and disappear. Because you see, the foxes and the rats, they don't like their deeds to be exposed. They don't like you to see what they're up to because they realize the consequences of that is that you will try and find a way to get rid of them. And that's like us, isn't it? We don't want our deeds exposed. We don't want God to really see us. We don't want to see ourselves for who we are. And the call this morning is to say, look, Jesus is the light of God, but naturally speaking, and even it might be happening this morning as you're listening to me, naturally speaking, you'll want to push that away because it makes demands on you and because it speaks right into your heart. And the call for us this morning is, will you see the light? Will you allow the light of Jesus, the stories about Jesus, the history of Jesus, the words of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, the explanation of his work, will you allow that to shine into your hearts? And let me tell you, it will be uncomfortable. Jesus is not going to say, you're a good person, you're a great person. Jesus is going to say, naturally, you love deeds of darkness, but I have come to bring you the light. Are you rejecting the light this morning? Are you facing up to the light, or are you running away from the light? You see, it was bad enough that Jesus came to his creation and the creation didn't recognize him, but worse still, that he came to his people and his people didn't recognize him. Some of you have been coming along to this church a long time. You're kind of like the Jews, people who should know better, people who should recognize the light. But some of you are sitting here and you're kind of, in effect, shying away from the light. You might express it as, well, I'm still exploring, I'm still thinking about it. You might express it as, this is boring, this is dull. When I get old enough, I'm getting out of here. But however you express it, if you're not receiving the light, you're rejecting the light. How long will you go on rejecting the light? He comes to his own. He comes to you this morning. He comes to you who have the privilege of being amongst God's people, hearing God's word, and some of you quite a lot. And he says, I am the light of the world. If you want to stop stumbling in the dark, receive me. Receive me. Will you do that this morning? And that's the wonderful thing that we end on. Receiving the light, verses 12 and 13. Let me read them again. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. You see, when I expose my foxes or my rats, what I want to do is get rid of them. When Jesus comes and brings light to you, it's not to get rid of you. It's not to obliterate you. It's not to trap you. It's not to end your life. It's to give you life. Because John wonderfully says, look, there's going to be loads of people who reject because they don't like the light. They prefer the darkness. There are going to be people who reject, but look, there's going to be people who will receive. And the wonderful, amazing privilege for the people who receive is, guess what? They become forgiven. Yes. They become part of the people of God. Yes. They see the light and know how to live, yes, but even greater, even more remarkable, they become children of God by the will of God. God wants them to be in his family. Do you know that? God wanted you to be in his family, a child not born of any human instrumentality, not any decision that was made here on earth, but a decision that was made in heaven to have you adopted into his family. There are those who will receive, and there are those who will believe. Some of you here are those, aren't you? You've received, you've believed. For those people, this overwhelming act of mercy and grace and love is that God invites us to join his family. And whatever kind of family you have, whatever kind of family you grew up in, whether good or bad, whether something you long for or something you're already experiencing in terms of good family life, this is your ultimate family. This is the family that everybody needs to be adopted into. And of course, the reason that it's possible is because of the work of Jesus that John will go on to explain in the rest of his book. It's because Jesus lives a perfect life. He is the light in the way he lives his life. He lives an obedient life. He lives a humble life. He lives a limited life. And his life is ended because there are those who prefer darkness. And at that moment, as Jesus hangs on the cross, it's almost as though the light is extinguished. And it's almost as though the darkness has overcome the light. And it is dark as Jesus dies on the cross. But the light's not gone out. The purposes of God have not ended. And Jesus gloriously rises again, and light wins and love wins. It's a great image, light and darkness. You know the thing? Sometimes you think of light and darkness as two complementary things, but they're not. Darkness is nothing. Light is something. Light always wins. Darkness never fights back against light because darkness is nothing. It's light that overcomes darkness every time. You never get a competition. There is nothing or there is light. And so the darkness doesn't win. At the cross, light wins. Love wins. And Jesus rises again, and the light of the world brings life to the world through his death for us, through his glorious, powerful, victorious resurrection. And you can become officially part of God's family. You see, the great act of God in bringing the word, in bringing light and life, was not just to tell us stuff about God and stuff about us. It was actually to bring eternal life through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And God makes an invitation to you this morning. Don't be those who reject the light. Rather, be those who will accept the light. Because as Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, whoever will believe will have eternal life. Whoever wants to receive the light can receive the light. Whoever you are, whatever you have done, however sinful you feel yourself to be, or however not needing of God's mercy you need to be, you need right now to accept the light, to say, Jesus, I can see now that you bring God's word and that you can give me eternal life. I can see that now and I accept it. Please help me to receive you. As I say, yes, you've exposed the darkness of my sin. I repent of that. I say sorry for that. But yes, I'm now in the light. I can see a way forward. I'm not stumbling anymore. I want to follow you. Would you do that this morning? Would you do that this morning? Would you say that to Jesus this morning? Come out of the light. Sorry, come out of the darkness. Come into the light of the children of God, as Jesus describes it. And really, it's been so helpful just recently looking at this and looking at the book of Revelation on Sunday evenings. It's been helpful to my heart to remind me the gospel is like super good news, isn't it? It's like super good news. You go through the last few chapters of Revelation and you think, this is such good news. And the trouble is, when you're, and I think I said this last Sunday evening, but when you're kind of walking around trying to witness to people and in your workplace and in your school, and it seems quite hard because they're loving the darkness, you kind of lose confidence sometimes, don't you? And it's great to be reminded of where we're going, the new heavens and new earth, and we'll think about that again this evening. But it's also great to be reminded, look, there will be those around you who reject because they love darkness. Don't be surprised about that. But to everyone who receives, to that person you've been praying for on and on and on, for those who receive, what have you done? You brought the light of Jesus to them and they have become children of God. And that is your privilege. You're wandering around. You feel like your life's pretty ordinary. It's not ordinary. You have an extraordinary life, Christian, this morning, because you're a child of God. You're adopted into the family of God. No one, nothing can take that away from you. So be joyful. Be cheerful. Be realistic that people love darkness. But be outgoing with your faith, because it's great news to all who believe, to all who receive. We have the official legal right to become children of God. And who wouldn't want to speak about that? Let's pray. If the musicians could come up, that would be wonderful. As we begin to pray, perhaps this morning is a morning where you want to say, I need to receive the light. I need to accept that Jesus is the light. Maybe you need to pray something right now to God.